It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
From Phoenix, Arizona, here in the beautiful studios of Freedoms. Freedoms with an S. Phoenix.com, where we got all kinds of goodies going on. You go to today's show. It's afternoon. Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. You can go see it on FreedomsPhoenix.com. You go into today's show in the afternoon, you'll see the embedded videos that we have. Pasha Roberts has done before for Reason.tv, and that's just getting started. That's just showing what they could do and say, oh, we're going to have us some fun. Imagine all of a sudden they get $1 million and they're going to make a feature film and they're going to educate all the youngins. Well, you know, who wants to make sure that does not happen? And what are they going to do? I don't know. Maybe something. You know, there's, and it may even be moot by then. They already, you know, to the end of your movie, they took your script and they went ahead and acted it. So what we want to do is we want to be part of this. We want to make sure we're going to, I already have Thomas, the sales guy. He's already contacted you, sent the stuff. We did it in the last 6 minutes. Boom, done. Art getting sent, having get your art. We're going to get it up on Freedom's Phoenix. We want to be part of your fan club. We're going to go whip butt because I know what's going to happen. This is going to be a tremendous tool in explaining to an entire generation coming up that does not care about rock the vote. You know, it's like vote or die, vote or die. And they're going, you know what? We've been through this. It was called the 2008 presidential election cycle with Dr. Paul. And guess what? If you think electoral politics and voting is going to make you free, you have not been paying attention, because whenever you bring up the issue of the Federal Reserve, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where all your goodies get put into the bucket. They're going to say thank you for playing, and it's theirs now through their banks and so on. So here we have a movie that's going to represent what's really going on and educate an entire generation that the people in the Republican and Democratic parties, they want the youth indoctrinated so that they will do what they're told by them. Well, what happens when they dictate what's being done? What happens when they educate themselves? And there is nothing more true to a young person than what they have learned themselves. How do you unlearn the truth? Now, the one thing I want to ask Pasha Roberts, he's director of Silver Circle, is the name of the movie, SilverCircleMovie.com. You'll find that they're already creating the infrastructure. They're already creating the social networking. They're already creating ties into the movement that has sustained itself. It's not about Dr. Paul. It's not about Campaign for Liberty. It's not about any party. It's about the truth. How do you unlearn the truth? I don't know. They're going to try the chemical wipe, I guess. I'm sure if they could, they will. So you got to be watching out for that. We'll keep an eye out. But here we have a year from now, while we're getting in the heat of the 2012 election cycle, after the economy has taken, you know, another big giant dump, which it will. What's today's date? Now, the 16th of August, 2010, Ernie says, I'll go on record. Oh, you think we're not going to have gold, the price of gold and the Dow meet? You know, someday, silver, we're going, oh, I remember back when it used to be in double digits. You know, heck, I remember it used to be in single digits. So now we're going, all right, here we go. We have a movement building. We have information that's being relayed. We have people that have an understanding. They're going to rally around a concept. And that concept, Pasha, is going to be what? In the future, we're going to have to what?
In the future, I mean, we're going to have to fight the Federal Reserve. I mean, we have to do it now, but in the movie, they've gotten so much more severe that, you know, what the rebels have done is what they're fighting, and they're creating, they're doing it themselves. You know, they're creating competition and directly against the Fed by making their own currency and silver.
Well, this is really happening now. Tell us what you know about, you know, old pre-64 coins. They call it junk silver. You know, tell us
silver,
what you...
I mean, basically, you know, it's 90% silver, and so you buy it for about, what, was it 13 times? It's face value, and, you know, and you can, you know, if you want to melt it down and get real silver out of it, you can, or, you know, you can get it melted down. But it's a that's a good, cheap way to kind of get silver without all the fancy medallion stuff and, you know, the numismatic things, which are, you know, you'll never get your money back out of one of those fancy things. You know, the kinds of bullion, like, you know, like ours, or like there's a lot of ones where they're basically spot plus a couple of bucks. You'll get your, you know, that's much closer to the actual value and the price fluctuates enough you get your money back from that. But I do like the junk silver. It's a nice way to just get big bags of, you know, I'll take 50 pounds of junk silver or whatever it is.
Well, you have dimes that are, you know, for the audience so you understand, pre-1964 and back, our money, dimes, quarters, half dollars, were 90% silver. And it was just, it was, you know, back when you used to think that your money is supposed to be actually real money. So then it started getting, that's when you get that little copper band that's in your quarter and so on. Now it's not even, they just keep junking down the metal. It's still, just last year, nickels and dimes were worth more melted down than what they, you know, were at the face value. So they're going, you know, you got a penny, you know, if it cost you a penny and you melt it down for, 1.7 cents and it wasn't even copper, you know, so they're going, man, there's your inflation for you. So what happens is you go, you want to know how much a silver dime is worth. You multiply it. Right now, it's about 13.3 and you go to coin. Inflation. Is that what it is, coin inflation?
Yeah, coininflation.com is a good place that they just keep up to date with the metal prices, and they put up the, you know, what each different coin is worth in terms of if you were to melt it down, which is illegal, but, you know, in our movie, making silver coins is illegal, too, and the rebels do it.
Well, you take, so right now, if you were to go to coinflation.com and you went ahead and put, I got, you know, X amount of these dimes. And you just go, okay, I got 10 of these. I put it in there. 10 dimes be $13.30. You do it with quarters, half dollars, and these are being traded now. And in the actual weight of the silver, it's generally only about 70 cents over the spot price of silver. Where you're buying bullion, you're paying, you know, at the low $1.75 to up $4 an ounce over the spot of silver on the market. So I'm going, you know, this junk silver thing is good because it's already broken down and it's a U.S. minted coin. You know, when I want to go pay for, you know, some gas, I don't want to be throwing a Krugerrand down there. You know, what am I going to get for change? So this is already starting to happen. Exactly what they're portraying in this movie is already going on right, not later. In fact, you guys have, you know, we have Freedom's Phoenix 1 ounce medallions ourselves. You know, we sold so many of those that I had like 700 done up, and I kept the last 120, 130 of them because I'm like, I want some. You know, can I have some? You know, so we went ahead and gave those at just over spot just to get them out there, and people got them, and you're welcome. But I'm going, no, I wanted some. Well, now you have silver circle coins. Tell us about those.
Yeah, I mean, we mainly made them up as thank yous for donors. I mean, for people that are doing larger donations, I mean, we'll do all kinds of things. We'll put you in the movie. We'll do whatever you want. But, you know, but at a certain level, we'll, like $100, we'll, you know, give you one of these coins back, or rounds back, I should say. And so that was the main reason we got them. But we do, you know, we do sell them. We do have them around, and you know, people can buy them online. I think it's okay. Well, you can find it on our website. I think it's at Mom's Silver Shop. And we, you know, we've learned a lot about the whole silver making process and doing this. So we, you know, our Rebels Mint is pretty authentic. You know, we've been to silver refineries. I've been to silver and gold pours with, you know, with tens of thousands of ounces pouring of hot metal pouring and splashing all over the molds, and it's pretty amazing to see.
So you got to incorporate those scenes into your movie.
Oh yeah, it's dramatic. It's big and gritty and loud and cool, and so we're putting it into the movie because it's you know, a lot of people
it's cool.
See that stuff. It's pretty cool, and just the heavy machinery that makes all these things.
Well, let's go ahead and look at, okay, I'm at coinflation.com right now, and you hit the coin calculator. And these are 1964 and earlier Washington quarter, just regular quarter. And you go, I got 10 of them. How much is it? $33.33. Now that's how much I get out of it there. So I guess they're $3.33 a piece. You know, I go back and I say, all right, let's take a look at the half dollars. I got the, you know, the Kennedy half dollar, 1964 Kennedy half dollars. I got 10 of them. Price of silver, I got 1843 and now $66.66. You know, so you got these right now. You can go get them. Go to the coin shop and get them 70 cent over spot. That's a deal. And you can start, you know, accumulating some wealth right now that is going to get stupid. It is going to get stupid. And right when it does, oh, silver circle is going to come out. It's like the Lord done provided us some timing. Yep. We're going to talk about it more here and declare your independence just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Turn on the tube, well, I see a whole lot of people crying, don't blame me. They point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this, victim of that. Your mama's too thin and your daddy's too fat. Get over it. Get over it.
Yeah, get over it here and declare your independence with me. Ernest Hancock, it's easy to do. You just declare your independence. You don't even need to do it with me. You can do it all by your lonesome. This is how you do it. You go, ah. Declare my independence. See how easy that was? You don't even need a government form. You know, in fact, you can't do it with a government form, even no matter how much they try and convince you that's how it's done. Here we have Pasha Roberts is director of Silver Circle. And I'm spending a lot of time on this today because a lot of these things, you know, we'll talk about and it'll be months, a year later, and all of a sudden this thing explodes all over, and you'll go, hey, Ernie, man, why didn't you tell us what was up? Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about it, and as we do updates as we progress towards the release of this a year from now. But I'm telling you, you know, this is how revolutions start. This is how governments change. This is how people become aware and freed in their minds. This revolution is one between the ears. And there has been such an enormous expansion of the ability to communicate ideas in every medium. And what we have here, tell us, Pasha, you know, what demographic, what audience are you reaching by using this technique?
It's definitely young adults. I mean, there's the broad demographic, you know, it can be, definitely the under 30 crowd, even the under 25 crowd. We're going to a lot of comic book conventions, a lot of, a lot of the movie going public is right in that age range, and it'll be a fun, you know, fun movie. It's not a kid movie. It doesn't look like Save Sunny, it looks more like Scanner Darkly, kind of a darker, grittier kind of look, but. You know, that the niche kind of demographics that we're in, we definitely talk to a lot of libertarians. We go to all those shows. We talk to a lot of sound money people, a lot of silver people. There's some really great silver folks out there, and we do the comic shows and anime, and and those guys are huge and laughing it up, and they all want to fight the man. That's where your 15-year-old anarchist is, Ernie. He's sitting out around the comic book convention. But we're totally unique inside of that space. Those are our different niches, and we go after the really the broad sort of young adult kind of thing in the theaters and DVD and download and all that kind of thing, as it gets into its broad release.
Well, do you think the release of this movie and the understanding of it and the use of it as a tool by the people that enjoy it are going to spark another renaissance in just real money usage in spite of whatever the Fed does? I mean, I can see a counter to this. They're going to see this coming. You know, I anticipate that they're going to have some kind of a, international currency that they're going to, wave some gold over it like a, atomizer for a dry martini with vermouth or something,
Right. And it's probably going to be SDRs. I mean, in the movie, we have, the dollar has lost its world reserve currency status. I mean, that's the only reason we'd be able to keep the charade of our own fiat money going for so strong and so long is that everybody else in the world is required to hold us in reserve. But once they lose confidence in us, then they, you know, will stop doing it. There's several countries like Kuwait have stopped holding and designating oil in dollars only. They use a basket of currencies now. So it's starting to happen already.
Well, we got Malaysia starting to go to the gold-backed dinar and such. I mean, it's already happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, here in the country, one of our sponsors, Del Valley Silver, you go to DELDelValleySilver.com. They've already anticipated this. They're starting to, you know, produce, you know, a lot of medallions and coins such as yours, but it has a little bit extra to it to where they have merchants that actually will take the silver and give you kind of a premium on it. So if it costs you, say, $20 or something for the coin, they'll give you $25. So it's like a $5 coupon. So it's already starting to happen. People are interested in that and kind of, you know, be able to start working in this bartering, this use of silver. There are people that have already done the work for you. Dell, D-E-L, ValleySilver.com. And I met these guys again at a function, the Liberty Conference in Valley Forge that Tom DeWeese put on this last weekend. And I'm telling you, you know, they'll go to, you know, like the Porcupine Festival where, you know, I think you guys had a table there too, didn't you?
Yeah, Del Valley are show buddies. We see them all the time. They're good friends. So,
yeah, yeah, no, they, you know, this is a community. We're all overlapping. And what you do is create a market for it and an understanding of it. And then, of course, everybody's got to get their silver circle, you know, silver so they can make a belt buckle out of it. But you have Del Valley Silver is actually creating an infrastructure by which you can get silver and use it and barter and get discounts. So this is the kind of thing that's already starting to happen. AOCS is doing the same thing. You have all kinds of different people are doing it. They see it coming. I saw this one is called Shire Silver, and it's ribbons in like a laminated card where it has actual silver inside like a credit card.
Yeah, that's ingenious because you can get the small denominations that way. You can get the change.
So it's happening everywhere. And with Porcupine Festival, they already got this in their head. And this is going to go viral. All you had to do is to create an alternative to this just printing paper. And just in the last couple of weeks, man, they are cranking it up. And if you think food and energy and so on is going up and is bad now, you wait just a few months. They held off as long as they possibly could until what they can get through one more election cycle. And after this election cycle, if not before, it is going to dump big time this economy. And you think it's done now? This ain't nothing. Oh, now we took off the first, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. No, you just got to smell the first sock. You know, and at first you hadn't even dropped yet. This is going to get stupid. And when is Silver Circle going to come out as a movie? You know, I bet it's going to come out at just the right time. And how are you promoting it to be distributed in the theaters? Who's going to release this? Are you going to Cannes Film Festival? Are you going to, you know, the Sundance? I mean, how are you promoting this?
Well, we'll go to those places if they'll have us. I mean, we're definitely trying to make it a great movie at that level of quality and go there. I mean, there may be political reasons they don't take us, but we're certainly going to try. And, you know, it's movie distribution is changing a lot. I mean, it's like what happened to music over the last 10 years. And so you're seeing a lot more downloads, a lot more self-distribution, a lot more of that kind of thing. You know, set-top boxes are having download built into them. You know, and there's a lot of people just downloading directly online or through Amazon or watching it on their computer.
But
so
our audience
are young adults. I mean, no problem watching it on their computer or on their phone or, you know, wherever. It doesn't have to be.
Or at a local theater. When we
had
the Freedom Summit this last December, you know, less than a year ago, we rented out a large regular theater, you know, down by Arizona State University, one of the largest theaters down there, a Harkins Theater. We rented it out for a showing of For Liberty, the Ron Paul documentary.
Yeah.
I mean, we rock and rolled. You think we're not going to do it with you? Oh, heck yeah. Man, waiting on you now.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to that. I mean, we definitely, you know, there's a bunch of especially areas where this is going to be really interesting, and like heavily politicized Washington, D.C., you know, New Hampshire, you know, there's a bunch of theaters that, you know, are perfect for this. And, you know, and also it's animation. I mean, it's intentionally animation as a, you know, as a suspense of disbelief. So you can have rebels and doing things and the economy doing crazy things. And it's a little bit not quite as realistic, and it's easier to take. You know, but you're still getting the pill. You're still getting the red pill. But it's, you know, it's a more interesting way to watch it than if it's just a documentary of people, you know, talking about.
Okay, well, when we come back, we'll go at least another segment, because I want to find out from Pasha, you know, how are you going to handle when the man does not want this information to get out? Has there been some attacks? Are they coming after the websites? Are they going to start gleaning emails? You know, if they can, they are, and I know they want to. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. I don't know, we got Pasha Roberts, he's got a mission, Silver Circle. You know, it's a movie coming out, silvercirclemovie.com. You know, I want you to kind of, you know, explain to the audience why you're not worried, man. I mean, you know, have you had any kind of obstacles that you didn't anticipate in the production of this? Because I've seen you around for, you know, quite a while. You guys have been promoting this, and I'm wondering if you've brought yourself to the attention of important people.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, we can still fly, and so can you. So that's good news every time I get through security in the airport. But you know, and I don't. We're not doing anything wrong. We're just making a freaking movie, right?
Yeah, well, that doesn't matter. You're backing up all your goodies off site. Kind of somebody got something not going to get seized and it's lost, kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, all that's taken care of, and the you know, but the but yeah, I mean, we have, you know, we are being watched by the Fed. You know, you can see them coming into our website and coming into our blogs. We have very active, you know, blogs and all kinds of fun posts kind of going on in there, and I'm sure they're enjoying themselves watching all of our antics online. You know, it's and we did have one altercation with them, you know, where, you know, we did a blog post that they really didn't like, and, you know, we got called up from a professional organization and asked to take it down, and we really didn't take it down. We just sort of barely changed it. Said, you know, all right, here's something about a certain central bank, you know, your local central bank, you know, so it didn't mention the Fed per name, but everything else is the same. But it's, yeah, they're very, very touchy. I mean, every time we go over there to photograph, you know, to get, you know, what the buildings look like or details about how they operate, it's, you know, security guards are there very quickly. You know, if you're there with any kind of camera or anything like that, they're much more touchy than pretty much any other kind of, you know, building in Washington, D.C. Probably the White House would be more, maybe, but it's strange for a private bank, huh, that they just would be, with no money inside of it, they'd be so touchy. But
well, this is, what prompted this particular movie? I mean, as you're sitting around, you know, the campfire and jacuzzi, you know, recreating or whatever, and all of a sudden you go, you know, we need to do this movie about the people rebelling against the man that's the real man, you know, the Federal Reserve and such in 2019. Where did that come from?
Basically, we cooked it up. I mean, I when I was watching the whole liquidity crisis unfold in 2007, 2008, you know, a lot of people had predicted it. I mean, people in the financial sphere certainly didn't. But, you know, I was watching all this stuff go down, and I was thinking, you know, this is the mother of all stories. This is really interesting, what's going on and how people are reacting. And not just the, you know, relatively little thing that happened in 2007, 2008, but, you know, what the second dip could look like and what things could be like. You know, there's still an enormous amount of pent-up debt and pent-up, you know, degrading of housing prices that needs to happen and for things to kind of get back to normal. And it's just watching that and realizing kind of what was built up into the system. We said, you know, this, rather than get despondent, we said, you know, this could be a great story. Just in order to be timely, we reached into the future so we could sort of stretch things a little bit and show if we go down the current path of spending and of, you know, borrowing and creating money out of thin air, this is the kind of thing that could happen or that, you know, almost has to happen. So, you know, it's just a desire, and it, you know, a lot of it is a deep desire to not see this kind of thing happen here in this country. You know, so we're just going to do our small part. I have talked to a lot of people in Argentina, Zimbabwe. We've, you know, done a lot of research as far as how modern economies get affected by severe inflation, and it's not pretty. I mean, you don't want to be carrying your dollar bills around in wheelbarrows.
Well, is that really the message? I mean, are we hopefully in the discussion in the forums on this issue, the next generation, the young people, are starting to come to the realization that, you know, whatever wealth that they have, I mean, when I was young, man, I didn't have anything. You know, the only money I had was delayed spending to get the next something I needed, you know, or thought I did. And are they starting to realize that they really need to start accumulating silver or actually start trading in it or just living smaller? I've seen that a lot. A lot of the people that are aware, they're just living smaller. You know,
yeah,
they're not looking for the next BMW.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, we're a pretty, a small company, but we have a lot of young folks here. It's not, you know, it's not a lot of old folks here. Probably I'm the old man, but.
How old are you?
I'm only 47, so it's, you know, but we definitely see a lot of people sort of either living smaller, people concerned about debt. It's definitely a, people realize you don't get out of debt by borrowing more money in a family, and it's hard to imagine that it would work in an economy.
What about international influence or distribution of the film? I mean, because it is an animation, you can make it whatever language you want.
Oh, yeah. And animation does very well overseas, and they would love to see our economy blow up overseas. So I think there's a big audience for that kind of thing out
there.
Well,
has that been thought about? Do you have some distributor in Europe or Great Britain, South Africa, Argentina, Mexico, Canada, you know, whatever? You will we'll translate it into French or something? I mean, you know, has there been any overtures in that way?
No, not yet. I mean, we are just, we are working right now to make it the best movie that we can make. We don't have pre-sale deals or anything like that at this point. It's until the movie's made. I mean, we'll get a better deal the better the movie is and the bigger our social forums are. I mean, we, you know, have been out, as you know, we've been out a long time already talking about the movie and letting people know what we're doing, and we have a pretty big audience already just for something that is.
So how many Facebook friends you got?
I got 5,500.
Whoa! And it's not just 5,500 Facebook friends. It's 5,500 of the experienced Facebooking friends.
Right.
This is, you know, from the Lovelution. When this thing goes and it hits and it kicks, and we have this coming college opening, you know, the school gets back into session for high schools and universities and such. And then again, when the movie starts being released in the next cycle, you know, a year from now, it's going to explode.
Yeah, and not just, I mean, two things about our Facebook friends. We love them. We're going to get a lot bigger than that. And it's not just libertarians. I mean, an awful lot of them are comic book fans. There's a lot of high school kids in there. There's a lot of college kids. And we're very tied in to college universities. We're going to have screenings at schools. When I was a campus activist, you know, films were the best thing to bring an audience, and, you know, they still are. I mean, it's a good way to get, you know, people to come over and have a good time and eat popcorn and, you know, get indoctrinated. So,
well,
that's what we're going to do. And we hire activists here too. I mean, lucky enough to have found Megan Duffield, who's a Lola lady, and she's been running our social networking world very effectively. And I'm proud to be able to hire liberty activists off the street and let them get a real job doing real networking.
Well, you know, the thing is that they're so experienced. They demonstrate, you know, something that's easy falling off a log to them. It'd take us, you know, 6 weeks just to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they just push button. They're done. You know, I have the same thing going on here at Freedom's Phoenix. They're going, dummy, why didn't you do this, Ernie? And I'm going, do what? This. Boom. And then your site explodes, you know, and has all kinds of more traffic. So this is a generation that knows how to communicate with each other directly, instantaneously throughout the planet. And I'm going, you know, how do you compete with that when you're a bad guy? I they're going to have to be able to shut it down somehow or do something or try to trump it or infect it or distract from it or so. I don't know how they're going to do it. I know that they got a plan or what they think is a plan or something they think they're going to get away with. But, you know, I wanted the audience, you know, spend time on this. And thanks for spending time with me today, Pasha, because I wanted people to understand that the reason I see this being so effective is because it is a direct and a targeted opposition to what they've been using trillions of our dollars over generations to try and hide the truth from us. And in so little, you know, a 72, 3-year-old man gets up and says, oh yeah, this Federal Reserve thing, that's what does all this. And they go, yep, went and looked at it, got it, on board. Then you start having it manifest itself in signs on the street, in movies, in efforts like SilverCircleMovie.com. Pasha, thanks for spending time with me, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Ernie. It's very, very much a pleasure to talk with you.
And you, the audience, go check it out. You're going to need this information.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, playing with a slide, there's nothing you can do about it here. Oh, there's one thing you can do. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, you can understand it. I mean, you know, here it comes. What are we looking at? Let's take a look at Kitco, see what the gold price is doing. Yeah, what we got here? And it's gone up. It's $1,225 in gold. Let's see what silver's done. How's she doing? Ooh, she done took a spike up. Yeah, it was almost 1850 there for what was it at? 1839. This is nothing. It is going to go get, it'll probably go down again. They'll manipulate it down. All the more reason it keeps going down. It hits in the 17, so I might go buy more. I said, you know what that means? That means I don't have enough. That's what that means. You know, I go, you know, I'll sell my big screen TV. Give me some more silver. Because I'm going to be buying, you know, I'll have every room with a big screen TV as people dumping them for, give me, can I have an ounce of silver, please? You think I'm kidding? This is, man, it's going to get dumb. And, you know, here we look in Phoenix today. You know, we've been screaming about the housing is going to take a dump. And what do they say here? Here, all of a sudden now they're just starting to, the you know, kind of admit, well, maybe we're going to have, you know, housing will take a little bit of a dump here. We're calling it double dipping. And he got the first dip done yet. You know, what do they say here? Let's go ahead and click on this here because they're going to tell us every little thing that we need. First paragraph, what do they say? Home prices in Metro Phoenix are falling again, and new data about upcoming sales suggests that they are likely to keep falling over the next few months, bringing concerns of housing market double dip closer to reality. Home prices have fallen to a median of $119,000 back in April of 2009. You know, this is going to go lower. Why? Because they have this enormous supply. And Silver Circle, what were they talking about? They were saying, you know, the Federal Reserve, they're going to try and, you know, keep prices up. They're going to start just taking over a bunch of tracts of housing. Well, what the heck do you think of Fannie and Freddie have done? You know, why do you think they're not foreclosing on a bunch of stuff? They don't want this stuff in inventory. They don't want this stuff sitting out there to get sold. It will drive housing down, I don't know, let's be conservative, 20% lower than what they are now. You know, this is at the peak of the housing here in Arizona, in those seven. It was at, what was it? It was like, my wife's real estate agent, she was showing me, she goes, 40% of the homes for sale were vacant. 40%. What'd that tell you? It was all speculation. It was all because, you know, they sold their house at a peak in California or could borrow on it or something for what they could get in their equity on a home that they had rented out in California. They could buy two houses here in Phoenix. So they did. And they let them. Why? So that they could make a mortgage-backed security and print all kinds of making paper money. Paper money. I remember just last week before the primary where Peter Schiff lost his bid in the Republican Party for U.S. Senate in Connecticut, they had a compilation of all of the pieces that he did on all the news channels where they're laughing at him. He's going, no, this has just gotten started. This is going to get bad. And they're like, tee-hee-hee, oh, ha, 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 ha. Oh, I can't believe you said. And what would they do? They would split the screen, and the director would be there showing each one of the people laughing at him. I mean, it was like on cue, throwing their head back, open their open mouth laughing. Oh, oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. Art Laffer. Laffer curve, you ever hear that? Supply side economic guy. You know, Art Laffer, yeah, I bet. You know, you give, do a penny bet with me. He goes, yeah, I'll bet with you. You know, Peter Schiff's like, I'll bet with you. He goes, no, no, it's never going to. They think that what they say is going to have an impact. Well, I guess it might. You know, I mean, you know, Kramer's is all full of it. I mean, he comes out saying that, yeah, you know, he makes a couple of calls, gets a story here, there, put a little Barron's here, a little Wall Street Journal there, and get a little blip on the market, kind of making some money as some sucker bought it in, and they sold it, and then they buy it down when it hits again, do keep doing it all over again. You know, insider trading. Oh, there's like there's law against that. Yeah, maybe for me and you, but not for them. It's all coming down for lack of credibility. Nobody sees the legitimacy of any kind of government regulation or anything. Nobody trusts the system. The only reason they're even afloat the way they are is because so much of the stock market has been engineered to where a lot of your money that goes into pension funds and money markets and retirement and 401ks and IRAs and all this other buckets of money is sitting out there, and they legislated it had to be in the stock market. There was no other place for them to put it. You know, now what? They took it and said, you know, thanks for playing. You saw it coming. You started wanting to pull it out. You couldn't. You couldn't get it in time. They would do freezing. You remember that? They would freeze. You can't get it out. Well, fortunately, my grandmother on my wife's side, her grandmother, we went and had a talk with her because I knew she had some money, and it was, and we said, look, grandma, just, you know, just get it out. You're better off just have it in cash. It's definitely not going to be going up. Okay, you get silver and so, and she did. And who's my wife's brother? A bond rater at Moody's. You know, she was fortunate enough. She was smart enough because she'd been around. She knew I was right because she'd been, you know, through many cycles of this. She started doing stocks back in the 60s. She's going, yep, yep, I see the, you know, I'm, you know, my financial planner says, so she's in her 90s. Like, nope, I'm going to pull. And she did. And I'm like, oh, yeah, who's the favorite grandson now? I'm telling you, this is so obvious what's coming. Get out. Get the call came from inside, man. Get out of the house. So we try and be inspirational. Now we got chickens in the backyard. We got a little garden thing going. We got some, you know, food underneath our bed. You know, we got enough, you know, firearms and lead and all this kind of stuff. But I'm not looking to have a battle. You know, that's what they want. Big bad guys, you know, they go, yeah, bring on the revolution. We'll just kill y'all. We need to know who he is anyway. You know, but what if it's a movement of people that just understand to bypass them, to bypass the system? Well, I'll tell you one of the things we're going to be talking about in the next hour. You know, the stars of the movie Fatally Flawed are in studio. They're going to come in. They called me earlier. They're going to come in for the last hour because they've been filing all kinds of court actions today on the upcoming election. These guys know They got access with all kinds of lawsuits and court actions and stuff, got dirt on the bad boys, you know, election after election. We've been through all kinds of suits. I mean, I do what I can to help them because, you know, I already know, and they're helping document it. So, okay, you know, you think you're going to have a solution to this is voting? Well, you have not been paying attention. But they're going to highlight it. You know, here, they got computer geeks galore in here filing suit today. Filing their actions today. We're in court today for this election. Here we go. And then what? What's going to happen? We're going to learn. We're going to learn just what the bad guys are willing to do, just how much they're willing to twist, lie, steat, cheat, you know, and steal. And what's to stop them? I realized in the early 90s, I was going through, I'm going, how in the heck are they able to get away with this? It was election law. So I filed, you know, 44 election laws I took all the way to the Ninth Circuit. I've been down this road. I already get it. You know, they're black robe guys. They're sitting there waiting for it to come. Yep, you know, I'm in favor of the state. For whatever reason, Phil, I've seen all excuses. But the thing is that they used election laws to eliminate opposition before it got started. What happens when you have to go through the bad guys, you know, gauntlet? The guys with the shiny badges in the parties, they get to determine. You know, the people inside the party. You know, there was in Pennsylvania, when I was back there, the Libertarian Party there, every single one of their candidates were challenged to be off the ballot. Challenged every one of their signatures. They what they did is they go, all right, they need, you know, 20,000 or they need 10,000. They get 15,000. You know, they knew, you know, but they're going to have to challenge. They're going to have to go to court, spend the money, and for every single one of those signatures to validate that they are good. This is, you know, and whatever money, you know, libertarians don't have a bunch of money. And whatever money they had to go into the general election to fight, they're spending it to maintain on the ballot. This is how they play. This is how they roll. Do you think they're going to get them off? It's not the point. They just challenge anyway. Every single one of them. You sure you want to run? Next time you're going to have to make sure you get twice as many signatures. You're going to have to this. You're going to have to that. This is how. Is it, you think voting is going to make you free? When did that happen? We got more free in any election. When was that? Tell me, when was it? What was the last election we were going to get more free? I mean, maybe Kennedy. Look what happened to him. I mean, that was one of the reasons why, oh, he's wanting to get us off the Federal Reserve. You know, that's why we were going back to silver. There for a few months, they actually had, you know, silver-denominated, you know, federal notes. Oh, we can't have that. This is where the battle is. I care not who makes the laws. I just want to be in control of the money. Well, this is a central banker's credo. Well, how do they get away with it? A lot of it's the election laws. And it's how you are able to select individuals that would represent your interest the way you'd want, or at least, oh my goodness, they're advocating for a republic or a constitution or get back to some kind of promise that they originally made. We had Dr. Paul for that. What happened? Are you going to get sucked in again for this next election cycle? They're going to promise you something? They're going to take out enough illegal immigrants for you? Are they going to fight enough wars for you? Are they going to wave enough flags for you? What is it that will entice you back into it? What is it? I don't know. We're going to talk about the election process when we come back.